Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
I want to talk to you about God's garments. This thought did not originate with me, but it resonates with me very deeply, and I want to share it with you this morning, and I pray that you would receive the word. Let's pray together. Father, for the next 30 minutes, would you anoint my mind and my mouth and help me to speak into the heart of this assembly what you have placed in my heart. I thank you for it. Bless your word in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. You can be seated. There are several types of garments that are spoken of in Scripture. There are garments that we are to put on, and there are garments that we are to cast off. There are garments that are man-made, and there are garments that are God-made. And when we look at the first couple in the book of Genesis chapter 3, first of all, I want you to look at what Satan does. What Satan does to Adam and Eve, he takes away their garments of innocence and their garment of glory. Now you have the same story that is illustrated with the man who went down from Jericho to Jerusalem. And the scripture says that he fell among a band of thieves. And when he fell among this band of thieves, the Bible tells us that he was beaten and he was stripped and left almost for dead. And that's the picture of man's helpless situation, because that's how Satan leaves man when he gets done with him. And then we see the same thing with the man that was full of evil spirits. The Bible tells us that this man was walking about in the tombs. He was cutting himself. He was full of evil spirits. And the Bible tells us that he was without clothing. But if you keep reading, you will find that at the end of the story, the Bible tells us that this man that was full of devils, he was saved. All the devils had been cast out. He was at the feet of Jesus. He was fully clothed and in his right mind. So now in the garden, you have Adam and Eve that have been stripped by the enemy. You have the man walking from Jericho to Jerusalem. He was stripped and left naked by a band of thieves. Then you have the man that was in the garden, or he's called the Gadarene demoniac. He was in the tombs. He too was stripped of his clothing by Satan. You see, that's what we do, ladies and gentlemen, when we realize that we are naked. Here's what we do. We try to cover ourselves up. Here's what the scripture says in Genesis 3. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew. Everybody said they knew. They knew they were naked. What did they start doing? They started sewing fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. And that's what, brothers and sisters, we all do. That's what we do. When man is stripped, when he is wounded, when he is helpless, he tries to do something for himself, and he tries to cover up himself. And as the old saying goes, man does the very best that he can. He tries the very best that he can to cover himself up. And here's what Adam and Eve did. They made fig leaves. And the Hebrew word is translated aprons, meaning something to gird themselves with. In other words, they were girding themselves with their own efforts. Does that make sense? Let's go back to Genesis now 3 and 8. And they are covered with garments made by themselves. And they hear the voice of the Lord God as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid themselves. Now, isn't that strange that they hid themselves? And the Lord says this, why is it that you hid yourself? And Adam said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, I want you to peer a little bit deeper into this. It had just previously told us in that verse that Adam had made himself fig leaves, aprons for he and his wife. So really, he wasn't naked. But here he says, but I was naked and I covered myself. He had a clothing of fig leaves. But that's what Satan does to us. He persuades us that in our own self-righteousness, we're all right. And that we in our own self-righteousness can stand before the Lord. But I want to address all of you sweet people this morning. I want you to hear from the word of the Lord. That when you and I cover ourselves in our own garments, they will not do. Just like they didn't work for Adam and Eve, they're not working for us. It will not cover us. So what did the Lord do? Look at Genesis 3 and 21. God provides garments to cover the sin and the want and the lack and the nakedness of man. Here's what it says in Scripture. For his wife and for Adam did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. I want you to notice something here. The first garments made by man, God had nothing to do with it. I got to take a second here, but look at the other side of this. The first garments made by God, man had nothing to do with it. The righteousness of God is not a man-made type of righteousness. And the covering that God provides for his children is something that you and I really have nothing to do with. This is going to come as a heavy statement, but listen to me. If you could save yourself, then you wouldn't need a savior. And if you could cover yourself, then you wouldn't need God to cover you. But you cannot save yourself and neither can you cover yourself. Your best attempt at being a Christian is still not good enough. Can I get a witness in this house? But the God kind of righteousness, these are the garments of the believer. And they hide our sin and they hide our iniquity and they hide our nakedness and they clothe us in beauty and in holiness. I want to talk to you this morning. As good as you are and you are some sweet people, I want to tell you, you're not here to compare yourself to your neighbor because you can look at your neighbor and say, I'm better than my neighbor because I don't put bad stuff on Facebook. I'm better than my neighbor because I come to church more than they do. I'm better than my neighbor because, you know, I'm pretty sure I give way more than they do. Well, when you're comparing yourself to your neighbor, that can make you feel good about yourself. But God is not going to get you up there and compare you to your neighbor. When you stand before God, you're going to be compared to his perfection. And this is what you're going to say. You're going to say like Isaiah. You're going to fall on your knees. And you're going to say, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. When you begin to compare yourself to God, sweetheart, there's absolutely no comparison. And you can't come into this house clothed in your own self-righteousness. This is why we all need God's garments to clothe us. Take 5 seconds and give God praise. Now I want you to look at what the Lord God made. He made coats of skin to cover over man and his wife. Do you suppose, ladies and gentlemen, that they took the coats of skin that God made and put it over that little apron of fig leaves that they made? It's very doubtful. Most likely they took off those apron of fig leaves and let God's coats of skin cover them. So they cast off their self-righteousness. I want to preach to somebody this morning. God wants you to cast off your pride and your ego. And I'm all of this in a bag of chips. Can I tell you, you may be all of that when you compare yourself to your neighbor. But God is not going to compare you to your neighbor. He's going to compare you to Him. And when you look to Him, what you're going to see is beauty and purity. No sin, holiness. And it's going to astonish you. Do you understand that God is so pure? I can prove this in Scripture that one day He will be the light of the new Jerusalem. That's how pure He is. Please, brothers and sisters, don't walk in here in your own self-righteousness. You need God's garments. Look at your neighbor and tell him you need God's garments. Mm-hmm. You gotta cast away that old. I never noticed this before in Scripture. But when you read the story of Elisha and Elijah, to those of you that are new, Elisha was a prophet. Elijah was a great prophet. And Elisha wanted a double portion of Elijah. And he said, I don't know that I can promise you that, but look, we'll just see what happens. Never seen this before in Scripture. But the Bible tells us that when Elijah went up into a fiery chariot, that his mantle, he released his mantle and it came on the ground and Elisha picked it up. And you can read this for yourself in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible says that Elisha, who was waiting on the mantle of Elisha, took his garment and he rent it. And he picked up Elijah's garment and he put it on. Now he was clothed with that garment of that first prophet. And he said, God, I want a double portion. That's awesome. Do you know that as I begin to look at this, there was a blind man. It's called blind Bartimaeus. And when Jesus called him, the Scripture says that blind Bartimaeus, casting aside his garment, he arose and he went to Jesus. In other words, he cast away his beggar's garment. He said, I can't go to Jesus as a beggar. He cast away his garment. Maybe he felt like that this is keeping me from getting to Jesus. I don't know what he felt, but the Scripture says he cast away his beggar's garment and he went to Jesus because maybe that beggar's garment was his identity and he knew if he could get to Jesus, something good was going to happen. I want to tell somebody this morning, I want to remind you of something. When you come into this house, you're not a beggar. You are a believer, and any old identity that says what you used to be, you cast that aside and you run to the Lord, and God will put a new garment on you. It's the garment of the believer. We are kings. We are priests. We're sons of God. Does that make you excited? Man. Can I keep preaching? Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? This is found in Luke chapter 15 when he came home in his rags and in his dirt. And dirt was under his fingernails most likely. He most likely smelt like a pig pen because that's what he had been in, feeding swine. He was probably very dirty. Do you remember that story in Luke 15 when he came home? What did the father say? He said, hey, go get the best robe. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think he kept on those old stinky rags that smelled like swine? Or do you think he took that off and put on that new robe? That's what the father will do. You say, Pastor, I've messed up. I've been out there. I've been in the pig pen. I used to come here, but I hadn't been here in a long time. I've made big time mistakes. Can I give you the good news? The good news is that when you come back to the Father's house, He don't have a beggar's coat. He's not asking you to beg Him. He's got a coat that says, come on in, my son. Welcome in. I got a brand new robe for you. I got a ring for your finger. I got sandals on your feet. I got a garment for you that lets you know you're my son. I want to encourage somebody, take those old rags you're wearing of self-righteousness and burn them up. Rent them in twain. God's got something brand new for you. The Father has a new day and a new robe. He wants to call you by a new name. Hey, you're not that old man. I know you messed up. Listen, can I tell you, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, myself included. We all need more than a second chance. We need a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance and a sixth chance. Woo. Well, 30 minutes goes by quick. I want you to look in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Isaiah 61. And this is, Jesus quoted this when he was in Nazareth. And he quotes it and he begins to fulfill it. And I want you to look at what Jesus says. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, my sweet people, I want you to look at the first verse, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now look in the middle of verse 3. He provides for the captives that are now liberated. He provides them new garments. He provides them garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In the old life before Christ, we were all in prison and in sin and in heaviness. But when Christ brought us out, he not only brought us out, but he said, I'm going to put a new garment upon you. This is the garment of the believer. And when Jesus opens the doors to the captives, he proclaims liberty and he gives us new garments. What are those garments? Instead of being laden with sin, now we have the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's why we can come into church and smile this morning and dance this morning and rejoice, because we wasn't heavy laden last night with a lot of sin. We can come in and rejoice that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, and the old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That's what we're to do. We're to get rid of those old garments of self-righteousness and pride and egotism and worldliness, and dress in the garments of this life. I want you to understand, for any new believer or any new person, I'm not talking about your literal clothes. I'm not saying go out and throw your wardrobe away. What I am saying is, I'm talking about metaphorically the garments that God puts up on us. Are you with me today? Now let's look at the garments real quickly that God provides for us. I'm going to hasten. What kind are they? How long do they last? Where do they come from? What they're like? I want to talk about it briefly. You see these shoes that I have on? Eventually these shoes are going to wear out and I'll have to buy a new pair. And believe it or not, I've had this one jacket for over 20 years. That's the truth. I've had it for 20 years, but eventually it's going to wear out, and I really need to buy a new one. I want to show you something in the Word of God in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29. And verse 5, here's what it says. This is God speaking to his people in Israel. He said, I've led you these 40 years in the wilderness, and your clothes did not wax old upon you, and your shoes did not wax old upon your feet. Here's what I want to tell you. God's garments are made to last. God's garments are made to last. This is Brother Baggett right here. Wave your hand. This is Brother Baggett. Brother Smith, wave your hand, please. These men, wave your hand, Brother Smith. Wave your hand. There you go. These men have been around about 100 years. And when God brought them in and caused them to be born again, you know what he did? He put a garment of righteousness upon these men. They've literally been walking with the Lord probably 60, maybe 70 years. But guess what? That garment that God placed upon these men hasn't worn out yet. They haven't had to be changed yet because his garments last forever. That's the garment that God puts on you. It doesn't go out of date. It doesn't go out of style. It's a garment that will last forever. And can I even go on and tell you right quick that these garments that God gives you will go through the fire? Because I read about three Hebrew boys that they didn't bow down. And the Bible said that they made the fire seven times hotter. And they threw these three Hebrew boys in. You got to read this. And the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar peeked inside and said, lo, I see one that looks like the Son of God. And then the scripture says he brought them out. And when he brought them out, read it for yourself. Their garments did not have even the smell of smoke upon them. Their eyelashes were not even singed. Can I tell somebody, when you get on God's garments, God's garments will take you through the fire. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus says in the third chapter of Revelation, here's what he says. Now, these names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments, they shall walk with me in white. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And here's what I want you to see, and I'm finishing up. The first garment that God ever made was to cover man. That was the first garment ever made that God made, and it was made of the blood. In my personal opinion, it was made of blood of sheep because he was already showing the sacrifice of the perfect lamb to come. And he covered them in the garments of that perfect little lamb by the shedding of blood. He covered Adam and Eve in their sin. Now I want you to notice something. The very last, I want you to see something here. The last garment that will ever be made will be made by Christ himself. And the Bible tells us this, that it's going to be a white linen. It's going to be the righteousness of the saints. And check this out. Jesus himself is going to be your tailor. And he's going to stitch you up a white, which signifies purity. And God is going to fit you perfectly. And if you've never liked your physical body, you're going to look flawless in this garment because it's going to be perfect. Because God's going to hand tailor it just for you. And guess what? You're never going to have to wear another garment again. Because throughout eternity, you won't change this garment. It'll last forever because it's the garment of righteousness. It's the garment of purity. It's the garment that Jesus Christ has made for his bride. Would you stand and let's give God some praise in this house?
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.